It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward.
That's what I'm talking about.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free. 347-215-7771.
All right, looks like the Celtics could have used that break just like much of the teams throughout the NBA. But this one was a well-balanced win over the Detroit Pistons as they topped the Pistons in Detroit 110-98 and snap a three-game losing streak. I mean, this team dropped three out of the last four. It seemed like they needed a break, and it certainly proved it tonight as they were able to top the Detroit Pistons at their place. And looking like the Celtics can go into New York looking for another win, and this team is looking like the break did them a solid as they go into Detroit and grab a solid win. Joseph Pavone here for CLNS Media. This is the Celtics postgame show, CLNS. I'm joined by my co-host, Andrew Rubino, who will also chime in about this win. Andrew, you know, we saw guys like Daniel Tice proving their worth. We saw Terry Rozier. I mean, Marcus Morris had himself a good game. We saw valuable performances from all these guys. And I think one of the things that we can take away from this win is the fact that we saw someone like Al Horford not play so many minutes in this one, because when you have guys like that who can step in the clutch and who can step in those fourth quarter to put away games, that's when you see the stars rest. I mean, Brad Stevens did turn to Kyrie Irving at one point towards the end of that fourth quarter, but nonetheless, they were able to hold on. His minutes were limited, under 30 minutes. That's the type of thing you want to see from here on out. Not to say that these guys are aging all-stars at this point, but if you're able to save them and able to put in bench guys who can perform and deliver and seal a win for you, that's just more the better, right?
No doubt. You look at the fact that nobody played over 30 minutes tonight, Josue. It was very impressive. The Celtics definitely needed this win, like you said, dropped four of their last five before the break, so the comeback with a nice victory over a legit team. Look, I don't know if the Pistons are going to sneak into the playoffs or not, considering that Blake Griffin just kind of got it added in. But we'll see. I mean, this team has talent, and it wasn't like they did this against one of the bottom teams in the league. It's not like this was the Kings or the Hawks. This was a legit team with legit players in Drummond and Griffin, two max contract guys, two perennial All-Stars every year, depending on their health. So a quality win from the Celtics team, no doubt.
Six players in double figures in this one. Tice, of all people, man, this guy, if he's able to, it's like the All-Star break did him a solid, because he's able to perform at this level. You're not going to see a whole lot of Greg Monroe, even though he did manage to play 19 minutes. Monroe, 8 points, five rebounds was solid, but nothing compared to what Daniel Tice did tonight. 19 points, seven rebounds, and was just a really cog in the middle defensively. I mean, look, when you see Tice playing like this, and when you think about how much experience this guy has, yes, he is a rookie, but with all the experience under his belt, of all the basketball he played in Europe, you can't help but think what this guy is going to mean for the Celtics moving forward. Huge game from Tice. Like I said, Terry Rozier, 11 points. You know, he contributed off the bench, seven assists to go with that. And then you have Marcus Morris, who I think is just going to be solid from here on out. I mean, Marcus Morris seemed to be one of those few guys that was giving them some bit of a consistency, you know, throughout that stretch. Even though they were losing games, I think Marcus Morris is going to find a spot in this rotation where he's going to be a guy who can come up big when his name is called. Marcus Smart making his return tonight. 12 points, 6 assists, and that gritty defense. Listen, going into this game, everyone's wondering how Marcus Smart's going to respond. I don't think anyone was necessarily concerned, but I think tonight we were reminded just how important this guy is on the defensive end. Andrew, give me your take. What do you think about what we saw out of Marcus Smart? And what do you think we're going to see moving forward? Because there's one thing I want to get into about Marcus Smart, and that has to do with what he does on the offensive side of things. I saw a very aggressive Marcus Smart, and I saw a Smart that wasn't settling for jump shots, who wasn't trying to connect a lot from behind the arc. I saw him being more aggressive and getting to the hoop and sort of finding the easier baskets, whereas before, sometimes it seemed like he would tend to settle here and there. Nothing compared to last season, of course. I don't think his shot selection has been that horrible. I know some Marcus Smart, you know, guys who are really critical of Marcus Smart may say otherwise, but to me, I think what was plaguing Marcus Smart is that he was getting good looks, taking the right shots, but they just weren't falling. However, tonight, we saw him make a conscious effort to go inside, blow past his defender, get an easy two, build the momentum that way, and then, of course, give you the solid defense on the other end. Andrew, what did you think about Marcus Smart tonight?
Yeah, you know, he definitely showed his worth. And like you said, he got the basket, which was impressive. He used his body well, actually, a couple times getting to the hoop and finishing. It was obviously big for Drummond and Griffin down there, who are legit big and legit athletes. I think the biggest thing about Mark Josue is that he hurt his hand because he was frustrated after shooting very poor quality shot at the end of that Lakers game. And maybe between him kind of embarrassing himself and also Terry Rozier really stepping up in during his absence, he knew he needs to play as smart as possible and be Marcus Smart, which means hustle plays like he made tonight, the good defense, and taking the shots within the offense. I mean, one of the three-pointers he missed was wide open, but it's okay because he's taking the shots within the offense, like you said, and a couple great drives tonight and an efficient 5-of-9 shooting in his first game back. So I was impressed with the way Marcus kind of came back in, and there was no awkward kind of assimilation for him back into this lineup.
Jason Tatum, one guy who I was a bit concerned about. You know, I didn't think that, you know, this is if a Tatum. I didn't think he's a guy who's going to struggle from here on out. But I did consider, and I'm still considering seeing this lineup, you know, shake things up a bit. Seeing Brad Stevens shake this lineup up a bit. But he made a strong case today. I mean, 15 points. You know, you saw him a lot more confident. He looked like he was in that type of rhythm that we saw out of him the first 2 months. I know it's cliche to say, but I'm telling you, man, I really think the break did these guys a solid. I mean, you saw Tatum back into that rhythm that we used to see earlier in the season. You saw Kyrie Irving doing what he usually does. I mean, it's the all-hands-on-deck kind of performance out of all these guys, all the guys I just mentioned, that's going to get this team very far, going to get this team to pick up that momentum, try to steal first place away from the Toronto Raptors, because I do think that's going to be a battle. I don't think it's going to be easy. However, I do think is not only a possibility when this team is playing this way, but it's almost a certainty if they're able to keep this consistency.
No doubt. And, I mean, like you said, the Raptors are not going to cool off anytime soon. They have legit offense everywhere, especially with the head of the snake being DeMar DeRozan. But they have guys that are so you have to really be ingrained into NBA basketball and love NBA basketball to know the guys that are coming off their bench and that are really playing well. I mean, they obviously have the rookie OJ Anunoby from Indiana, and they have a couple other guys that are just – they're so almost unsung heroes that are really playing well for them. So, like you said, the Celtics putting together the type of win tonight that they're going to need multiple games like this moving forward in order to catch a quality team like the Raptors.
347-215-7771 is how you join us. It's 347-215-7771. This is the Celtics post game show brought to you by CLNS Media. The Celtics top Pistons 110-98 as they snap a 3-game losing streak and will look to continue on to New York tomorrow night. So not a lot of rest here. And then 2 days after that, they have to host the Grizzlies at TD Garden, where I think the Celtics are going to be. You know, that the momentum is going to put them in a space where they're able to probably – well, I shouldn't say probably, but they have a really good shot of winning all three of these games moving forward. I do think that the Grizzlies may be a tougher opponent. I mean, the Knicks, you know, you're not really sure what's going to happen. I mean, we saw what happened earlier in the season when Michael Beasley had a game of his life against the Celtics, so I guess you never could really call it. But for the most part, I think that's a tough spot that we're going to see within the next few days. But I can't say enough about what we saw tonight from the Celtics team. I mean, the Detroit Pistons just sort of it seemed like the Celtics just had them in exactly where they wanted them. And it really started in the first half. You saw that the huge second quarter when the Celtics tacked on 38 points before heading into halftime. Huge run, I think, obviously made a big difference. I mean, 28-6 run before halftime. Celtics were up 61-49. I mean, 61 points in the first half, and I can't say enough about when the Celtics are defending at this kind of level, that's what triggers the offense. That's what catapults this type of offensive performance out of the Celtics, and that's exactly what we saw tonight.
Yeah, Joe Soy, with that ending of the first half, the thing I loved was about 5 minutes to go, you had Kyrie and Terry in there together, totally meshing well. They each hit a three. Kyrie and Rozier both had great ball movement together, really looked like playing well together. I mean, considering that Terry was filling in for Kyrie while he was hurt, and it was finally good to see Terry kind of looking like that Terry who was starting for a couple of games while Kyrie was injured, and a spurt paired with Kyrie, which really looked good. And then you have the two come back in with about 2.5 minutes to go, really turn it up a notch. We're getting out on the fast break. So I was impressed by how the Celtics used combinations of guys that you've obviously seen before, but you haven't seen them do it this late in the season with everybody healthy to see these different combos in a game where they all play 30 minutes or less. I was impressed at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's just the type of consistency that we've been seeing out of Kyrie, and we see that resonate throughout the entire starting lineup, it seemed like, you know, and that in that second quarter, you know, the second unit getting involved, you saw how deep the team can be when everyone's on point the way they were tonight, and we certainly almost got too comfortable with seeing them perform at such a high level. You know, I think a lot of us also saw the other shoe was going to drop eventually, and exactly what happened before the All-Star break, but it was almost like the timing was even was best right then to go on that huge break, over a week off, come back strong, and it's supposed to be the halfway mark, but it's pretty much the fourth quarter now, heading into the fourth quarter of the regular season, and all of a sudden the Celtics are going to, you know, try to pick up that momentum and make some noise heading into the playoffs. You know, I mean, I can't help but think about the playoffs and think about how fast these final 21, 22 games are going to go by.
Yeah, me and you were talking beforehand about how it's the end of February, and it's like, oh, well, the playoffs seem a while away. I mean, next week it's going to be March, and then before everybody knows it, it's going to be playoff season, and it's really going to be those last couple of weeks in March into April that's going to decide where the Celtics are going to be seated in. I mean, the way the Cavs look better, obviously, they're 3-1 since they have acquired all of that kind of just new, completely new squad they have, and the Raptors looking good. You hope that the Celtics can get that one seed, not only for playoff home court advantage throughout, but also so they don't have to play the Cavs or the Raptors until potentially the Eastern Conference Finals, because I think anybody knows that the team that has to go through both Toronto and Cleveland to get there, if that's the path the Celtics would have to take, would be pretty tough. So these next couple weeks, like you said, or I should say next month and a half, are extremely important for the Celtics team.
All right, let's up to the phone lines, man. We got some people here waiting, and the phone lines, of course, are brought to you. Phone lines, of course, are brought to you by RX Bars. If you haven't already, head over to rxbars.com/CLNS, where you can save 25% off your first purchase by heading to rxbars/CLNS is the keyword to check out. RX Bars, man, I tell you, from talking from experience, these bars are not only delicious, but they're so easy to just pick up and go on the go. A quick snack. I mean, there's 11 delicious flavored variety, so there's plenty of that. No added sugar, no artificial colors, artificial flavors, preservatives, or fillers, egg whites for proteins, dates for buying, and nuts for texture. I mean, you have everything that you need for, especially in the beginning of your day. I use them as a breakfast, you know, a quick breakfast on my way out, and you should do the same. It's rxbars.com/CLNS. Make sure you head over there. You can get 25% off. Now, since I'm not the one controlling the board over here, I'm going to throw it to you. Who do we got waiting patiently? Who's the first one up? Andrew, let me know.
So, Joe Soy, we have Isaiah from Jersey. He wants to talk about the game. So, Isaiah, you're on with Joe Soy.
What's going on, fellas? What's going on, Isaiah?
What's going on, fellas? I'm fine, Joe Soy. What's going on with you, brother?
It's good to be back, man. You know, the break did me some good. We got some rest going. Now I'm ready to finish up the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you got them pipes all rested up. You ready to go now, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. What's on your mind, Isaiah?
Not much, man. Just commenting on the game tonight, man. I liked what I saw from the team, especially since my man Marcus is back. For all the naysayers out there who think that they're better off, you know, without Marcus, it's kind of like, you know, you never miss your water till the well runs dry. You know, you think that girl across the street looks better than the girl you with till you get with her and see she got a bad attitude. Well, guess what? Marcus is back. Marcus is back. And for all those fans out there who wanted him gone, how'd you like it? How'd you like the team when he wasn't there? I thought he was a huge part with getting the hockey assist tonight, keeping the ball moving, getting other players involved. If you notice, the team, the ball moved tonight like it hasn't moved in the last how many games? We shot 43% from 3-point range, hit 17 threes tonight, and that's simply because we had a lot of open shots tonight because of the ball movement. I love the way things were moving. I love how everybody played their roles, and there were two guys that I really thought had a great game besides Marcus. One was, of course, Danny Tice. Actually, three guys. One was Daniel Tice. The other guy was Greg Monroe. And, of course, Marcus Morris. I think those three guys are really important guys moving forward. I think Tice is going to do what he's been doing, come in, give you hustle points, have great hands, finish around the rim, and if he can hit the three, that'd be great. And I think that Greg Monroe showed a lot. For all the talk of him being slow on defense and plotting, I think he played great man-to-man defense tonight. You know, if you notice the Celtics, whenever we go up against a team that has big bodies, we get pushed around. And out there with Greg Monroe, we didn't really get pushed around, and he doesn't get pushed around. He stands his ground. He got big mitts. He boxes out. He's a willing guy that boxes out. So I think that that he's going to be a welcome addition. And also a big part of that I saw with him while he was on the floor is when we needed a basket and needed to settle things down, when we got a little jump shot happy, guys like Tyree found him on the inside for easy buckets, you know, against the defense. I think we need that post presence in there, especially for the second unit that can anchor the second unit. So I like what we saw from Monroe. I like what we saw from Tice. And team looked great. What do you guys think?
I mean, between Tice and Monroe, I mean, they're making things tough for Brad Stevens in terms of his starting lineup. I mean, Aaron Baines played, you know, 3 minutes tonight. I think when you have guys like that who can sort of come in and do their role and give you valuable minutes and not only, you know, challenge your opponents, but also give you that type of gritty and toughness. Now, I know Aaron Baines, you know, can give you that as well. And I don't know exactly, you know, if that's going to be something that Brad Stevens looking into moving forward. Because we all know Brad Stevens, there's no particular set starting lineup for Brad Stevens. You know, it's always played by whoever they're playing against. But when you have someone like that in Monroe who can rebound, who can give you that toughness, set some tough screens, which I thought really helped the Celtics tonight, and then Daniel Tyson top things off, you really have a well-balanced attack from not only your starters, from your bench guys. You have that toughness down low. You have that defensive mentality, which I think resonates throughout this entire roster. This is a tough team to beat when everyone's clicking like that, and especially when that triggers the offense. I mean, you talk about the ball movement, Isaiah. I mean, that's the type of ball movement that we haven't seen in quite some time, and I really think the defense triggers that. And obviously, it comes down to effort as well. The rest did them some good, like I said earlier, and obviously that plays a part as well. But when you see how deep this team can be, there's not a lot of teams that can say the same. You know, there's not a lot of teams that have this type of depth that we saw tonight against the Pistons.
Yeah, go ahead, Isaiah.
Oh, sorry about that. Now, there are two things that I did have questions about, though. The first thing is gonna be Baines. I think Baines is kind of. I mean, I like what he's done for us so far, but I mean, do you guys think that Baines has run his course? I mean, he hasn't looked good in the last, what, 15 games or so, 15, 20 games. He hasn't looked too good. He seems like he's – to me, it's a big liability when you can't get almost any points. If he's not hitting that little pop-out jump shot that he's hitting, he gives you, like, 0 points. And I know that he's a defensive guy out there, but I think that we can get the same thing with a little bit more offense by playing Monroe and Tice more. And the other thing is – we played about 11 guys tonight. We played about 11 guys with Baines only playing 3 minutes and with Nader playing, I think, 3 minutes. So we actually played more than that, but the 11 guys got double-figure minutes tonight. And I wanted to know from you guys, with those two things happening and with the playoff roster being cut down, do you guys see Baines as the odd man out and losing minutes, especially if Greg Monroe is going to come in and give you some resemblance of defense, give you those rebounds, and, of course, give you an offensive threat? And if Tice is going to do what he's doing, as the roster, as Brad Stevens does what he normally does and starts condensing the minutes that he's giving out, do you guys think Baines is going to be the odd man out and you see as you see Greg Monroe starting to get more minutes?
I'll take that. Well, you know what, Isaiah? I think that instead of looking at it as almost like a negative, like, oh, who might get cut out or who might not even be on the postseason roster, I think you need to look at it as I at least was talking off the air with my good buddy and CLNS contributor Bobby Manning about how you kind of, when they got Monroe, you were kind of concerned, or at least Bobby and I were kind of concerned of how many minutes really can Stevens allocate to all these bigs. And the thing that was really promising tonight is you have Tice, Monroe, and Horford making a huge impact on this game, and they really came in, and in their kind of 20 to 25 minutes, had a really intense impact and did a lot of positive things for the Celtics. I think it's exciting because I truly thought that it was going to be either Monroe or Tice that were going to get a ton of minutes and then the other wouldn't get any minutes at all. I love that at least tonight and hopefully moving forward, the Celtics team can get production from all three of those guys. And if you can have three bigs that are as tough as those three are and play both offense and defense as well, because a lot of times in this league, Isaiah, you have bigs that don't play both sides as well. And so you see the way all three of them were playing well tonight, both offensive and defensively, and the fact that they were all getting minutes. I think it's exciting instead of having somebody a little bit upset, say like a Monroe that comes in and has his pride hurt because he's not getting as many minutes because, say, Tice is playing really well. So in a game where Tice was playing so well in the first half, to still have Monroe come in the second half and play well, I think you have to stay optimistic about how there can be so many different contributors, like Joe Sway was saying, come playoff time.
What do you think about that, Joe?
Honestly, I think right now Brad Stevens is sort of taking a step back and wants to see how these guys react to certain type of situations, type of defensive schemes, you know what I mean? I think he's sort of in a tough spot right now. And I think when heading into the All-Star break, when he said that, you know, after that last loss to the Clippers, he talked about how, you know, it's going to be back to watch the tape, finding out what's going wrong. And he's going to start talking about, you know, or start discussing with the rest of the coaching staff about making the proper adjustments, especially with their rotation. I think they're sort of at a spot right now where they're not completely decided on who's going to receive some type of, you know, the kind of minutes here and there. And I know that sounds so weird saying that in February, but I think because of Greg Monroe, because he has so many directions that he can go in, you know, this is a good problem to have. You know, like, you have guys like Tice, you have guys like Monroe, you have guys like Ojeleye, and this is Brad Stevens is really big on Semi Ojeleye. He's called Ojeleye someone that he thinks could be one of the best defenders in the NBA. Like, that's word for word something that he said, and that's what he very much believes in. So I think right now Brad Stevens is sort of going to continue to tweak with Linus for a bit. I think he's going to learn a lot about his team in a couple of weeks, and then moving forward he'll make the right decisions. But again, like I said earlier, man, I think because of Greg Monroe can give you what Baines can give you on the defensive end, you may see him get the nod over Baines because, like you said, he can give you more on offensive side.
He's a better
However,
player.
That's a better way to put it. He's a better player.
Yeah, he's a better player.
However, there's Daniel Tice there knocking on that door. I mean, it's going to be tough to see how he divvies up these minutes, you know, with Semi Ojeleye in the mix. I know you can't necessarily go with a 10-man lineup heading into the playoffs, but Brad Stevens is going to do his best to try to figure things out. Brad Stevens also knows, just like every other NBA coach knows, that the game certainly slows down come playoff time. And he's going to figure out who the odd man out is. But it's going to be interesting to see moving forward who gets the nod out of those three guys.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be interesting. I think Baines is going to be the odd man out. I think he's going to be the spot duty guy. You know, especially if, like I said, if Greg Monroe puts up numbers, you know, if he comes in and he's productive with his time, I think that's going to solve itself, you know, because Baines can't score on the offensive end. If he's not hitting that J, it's a wrap, and he clogs the paint. So if I'm going to have somebody in there who's going to clog the paint, then I'd rather have Monroe in there, like I said, to balance the offense out. You know, that's my personal opinion. That's something that Brad's going to have to figure out. And who knows? I hate to say that an injury might be a blessing in disguise, but you know, Baines may be out with that elbow injury. So if he is you may get to see Greg Monroe solve that problem for us and make the decision for Brad. So it's up to Monroe. If I think he's the player that I think he is, I think that he's going to take advantage of the minutes. I think the All-Star break was a great thing for him because he got to get his conditioning in. You know, he got to be with the Celtics, get his conditioning in. Because I don't know what other teams are doing as far as their fitness squad is concerned, the strength and conditioning. But it seems like the Celtics are on another level when it comes to stuff like that. Without counting the IT injury, of course. But I think that the Celtics are on another level with that. So I think that the All-Star break was a blessing in disguise for Monroe because he was able to be with the coaching staff or at least get his marching orders. Because I think I heard Danny on EEI saying that that players had their marching orders on what they wanted to do, what they wanted the strength and conditioning wanted them to do. You know, so I think that that was a blessing. I think Monroe's minutes are going to start going up as he starts getting acclimated, and we'll see what he could do. But the other thing that I have another question about is, I don't know, maybe you guys can talk me off the ledge, but the more I'm watching this team play, and I know everybody, Josue, we talked about this before, I know that, you know, everyone loves Al Horford. Why do I think that Al is just slipping as the season is going by? His point total is going down. He's becoming less and less effective. He's an effective defender, but his rebounding numbers are going down. His scoring is going down, and he hasn't been the best primetime player throughout his career. So maybe you guys can talk me off the ledge and let me know that tell me something that's going to have me believe that Al is going to be the kind of guy that we need, the other offensive or the other star that we need on this team as we go into the playoffs. What do you guys think about that?
So we talk about the break and we talk about players that needed one. I mean, that's the guy on the top of my list. I just feel like the guy was spent. I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy. Like, you know, Horford,
he's old.
Put up some duds before the All-Star break. He's older. I don't know if we call him old quite yet. But
I don't know,
the,
man.
The first couple
of
months,
he's looking old.
You could have made a case the first couple of months that he was the MVP of this team, all right? Even next to Kyrie Irving. Like, that's how important he was. All those near triple-doubles. Couple of game winners, you know, underneath his belt. I mean, okay, yeah, he had a tough January. I give you that. And, of course, you know, the beginning of February didn't look so great as well. But I do think that he's going to be a guy who bounces back. This is a guy who's that's the least of my concerns. However, heading into the playoffs, we're going to have to see him step it up a bit. I'm with you. You know, come playoff time, you know, they're going to need him. They're going to need that, you know, November, December Al that we saw in the beginning of the season. I'm with you on that. I'm expecting him to bounce back. And I wouldn't be surprised if it starts tomorrow against New York. I wouldn't be surprised.
He's averaging 13 points a game.
Yeah, but Isaiah, just to
13.
Say one thing. Look, I get your concern about the production, but I think Stevens knows he's a little bit older than most of the guys on the team, and he's going to rest him when he can. And also with that, you can't say that he hasn't been clutch. He had a huge bucket in that enormous comeback win against the Rockets, and he had, which was late December, and then just before the All-Star break against Portland, he hit the buzzer, the buzzer beater.
New Year's Eve.
I'm not denying that he has his moments. I'm talking about consistency and what this team needs. What this team needs, like, if he were averaging about four to five more points a game, do you know how much of a difference that would make for the team? I mean, I don't know. Somewhere along the line this season, it crept into my head that Al Horford is making way too much money for the amount of production that he's giving the Celtics. And I think, like, I'm the only one ice skating uphill with this conversation. But I think that for a guy who's making $27 million and for a team that is starving for offense, I can't help but look at him and say he's the guy that needs to make a difference, that needs to step his game up, that needs to dig a little deeper. And you guys are telling me, yeah, he's a little older and he needs a blow and that he hits a game-winning shot here or there. And I'm talking about consistency. I mean, it's no secret that that's where we're lacking, that we need more offensive production. The defense is there. I think that if the defense comes around and with Marcus coming back and with this break, that the guy should have a little bit more pep in his step in his show tonight. But offense is still our sticking point. I mean, we hit 17 threes. If we don't hit 17 threes, then that's a lot closer game. And if it's a closer game, then that means that we need more production, more offense. And that's where Al comes in. And when I see his stat line tonight, I'm like, whoa, it falls in line with his declining stats. And I just feel like as a Celtics fan, that summer can't come fast enough for us to make this Anthony Davis deal, because I feel like the next 2 years of Al are going to be a disaster.
I mean, we got to remember that summer, man, everyone was getting stupid money. And think about it. The Celtics had to get somebody. They had to get a free agent. They had to make a splash.
Yes.
They had to show that they're going to compliment Isaiah with somebody. And let's face it, Isaiah, if it wasn't for Al Horford, I don't know if we see Gordon Hayward. I don't know if we see an Eastern Conference Finals berth that we saw last season. And if that doesn't happen, you definitely don't see the Celtics go out and get Hayward. I mean, it's just
– he's a cog.
The signing of Horford – it was a domino effect, and it was something that the Celtics had to go out and do. They got. Some people still don't believe this, but I do think they got pretty. They got legitimately close to getting Durant. Okay, that was the big goal. Obviously, they struck out on Durant, but they got Horford. And I think that put them in a great position. So that signing had to be done. That money had to be given because it was the only way that they were going to get him to sign. However,
yes.
I do think that people overlook the fact that he does give you that type of value on the court that don't always reflect in his stats. I get that. You know, it doesn't reflect in that way. But when the Celtics are losing and when they're dropping games, you know, three games here like they did before the All-Star break, it's easy to look at that. But when they're winning, you know, okay, maybe tonight's not the best example because, you know, he didn't have himself a stellar night. But I do think a majority of the time when the Celtics are winning and when they beat top-notch teams like the Houston Rockets, you know, he's one of those guys that has his, you know, he has one of those nights where you're like, okay, that's why Al Horford is valuable. That's why they went out and got him.
I don't know, Josue. I don't know. I mean, and the reason why I'm saying that is because I just don't know. It just completely and totally bothers me. And I know what you're saying. It's been a market correction in the league. You know, you can see by what Jamal Crawford signed. Everyone's talking about how there's going to be no money in this offseason. And I completely get it. I understand. But if it wasn't for this boom in the salary cap for 1 year, Al would be making about $18 to $20 million, and I could live with that. It's just him making 27 this year and 29 next year, and he's averaging 13 points and what, six boards? I mean, I know what he does. I know how he fits on the team, and I know we had to sign him. He's a necessary piece, and as much as I'm talking trash, there's only about two players in this league, two big men that I would trade him for or that I would remove him for, but I still harken back to what I was saying last year about Isaiah Thomas. I love what he gave me last year, but if I could find a way to upgrade that position, I'm going to take it. And with Al, I think that if I could find a way to upgrade that position like I did, and there's only two guys that I would want to upgrade him for, and that's DeMarcus Cousins and that's Anthony Davis, if I could find a way to do that for one of those two guys and upgrade, I don't see the difference in my argument carrying over from Isaiah Thomas last year to Al Horford this year. Except the difference is that Al is going to be, what, 33 next year? 34?
Nah.
I mean,
nah,
is Al going to be next year?
Isaiah, he's only going to be 31 this year. He's going to be 31 this year.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wait a minute. So he's younger than what I thought, and he's averaging 13 points? Oh, my God. What's going on?
He averaged less rebounds last year. Isaiah, he averaged 14 points and 7 boards last year. This year, it's 13 and 8 boards. It's 13.3 and 7.7 boards. So it's not like the production's changed, and it's not like the defense has really changed that much. I mean, you're talking about the difference of less than a point per game. I mean, I think it's because the fact that the Celtics team sometimes, if they are missing a piece, or if Kyrie's out, or if the bench, they had that huge stretch where the bench just couldn't get anything going. That's where you want Horford to step up and pour in more points. But that's never been his game. He's always been almost like the best glue guy ever in offensively, mixed with like such a great defender. So you have to take him for what he is. And guess what? If Gordon Hayward was on this team and averaging anywhere from 15 to 18 points per game, nobody would be this wouldn't even be a combo because he would be clearly the third wheel but the most important defensive anchor. So I think that come next year, Isaiah, that I think it's going to take a huge edge off. And that's the most exciting thing about this year is at the end of the day, it is technically still a house money season because of the fact that Gordon Hayward is arguably maybe the best overall player on the team, and he's still hurt. I mean, obviously, many people might think that's crazy, and Kyrie obviously is the best offensively, but who knows? Hayward could come back and just have such a great year next year and put them so over the top that that's the thing is you don't know where this is going to necessarily go. But I think that with Horford, everybody just needs to be patient because there's more to come with Hayward. Coming back with Tatum and Brown are going to absolutely progress. So let's give it till middle of next year, Isaiah, and you can call back in and you can tell us we're wrong.
Hey,
how about
tell
this?
You something.
The
I don't even.
Quarter, Isaiah. We'll wait till the end of the season and we'll see where you stand with Horford. How about that?
Hey, put it this way. I already know where I stand with Horford. Because neither one of you can tell me that if Anthony Davis is on the table and you need Al's contract, that he's not out the door. And this is the summer that Anthony Davis could be on the market. So next year, we might not even get to see Al with that team because you know how Danny is. Danny will trade his son.
Yeah, but Isaiah, if you're New Orleans, If you're New Orleans, you down to do that deal, though? Come on. You're gonna
if I'm New Orleans, I am going to do – if I'm New Orleans, I am going to do that deal because I'm going to get a big man back to play with DeMarcus because everyone's saying that they're going to resign DeMarcus. So if I'm going to get a big man –
You said he's too old.
No, this is me. But to the league, if everybody else thinks that Al is great, then I'm going to go with the league. Let's go. Because if that's going to be narrative, if that's going to be the narrative that gets me somebody like Anthony Davis, and the only reason why I'm saying this is because, once again, if I'm going to pay $27 to $29 million to somebody per year, I'm going to pay it to a guy who's going to get me the stats that I need.
If you're New Orleans, though, and you're going to get someone like that, like you said, at that age, at that price, I'm going to ask for one of your prospects. You're giving me Jason Tatum.
I'm not giving him Tatum. I'm giving him Brown because Brown looks good,
too. No, I'm saying if you're New Orleans, you're asking for Tatum. I don't think Brown's enough. If I'm New Orleans, I'm saying no.
No, you take Brown and Horford.
Give me the 19-year-old.
You take Brown and Horford.
I don't know.
That's a good – Brown and Horford and the pick will do the job, I think.
If I'm on the Celtics side of things, I'm willing to do that, but I just think I see New Orleans asking about Tatum. I think they see that ceiling is higher. They see him being a more well-rounded player, and I think that's the deal you do. If I'm the Celtics, and we're talking Jalen Brown and Horford, I'll do that.
Do it.
Easily.
I'll drive him.
I'll do it. You think it's a Logan?
Of course. But put it this way, and this is talking fast forward, but that's what we do as fans. We fast forward things.
Yeah, we always do, especially on the show.
Yeah. Especially on this show. So if it were me, I would definitely do it because if I were the Pelicans, I would do it because who else in the league is going to have a better package than that? Who's going to give them an all-star, a budding all-star, and a future pick, a really good pick? Who's going to do that? I mean, if we put that Laker pick or that Sacramento pick in that deal, they're going to take Brown. So if it were me, I don't know if Al's going to be on that team next year because I was saying, and remember, Josue, I was saying the exact same thing about IT last year, and you saw Danny swoop him and took the better player. I don't think that Al is going to be on the team next year personally. If he is, that's great because you guys will be right. He'll fall back into the third all-star on the team. And then we'll also have two budding all-stars coming along. So his role will be different, and I can accept those numbers. But I'm still going to be looking at that big price tag that Al comes with because, as we all know, the market's not like that anymore. And if it was this market, he wouldn't get $29 million. And then the year after that, $31 million. No, I'm gagging thinking about that.
Yeah, put that down, man. Don't look at that salary cap. Look at the product on the court. And we'll talk. I'm sure you. I know we'll talk by the end of this fourth quarter. I'm telling you, you'll see Horford step things up, and he'll have that momentum heading into the playoffs. We'll talk soon, Isaiah. But hey, man, I appreciate you calling in. You know, it's always fun for me to talk to you, man. We'll talk again soon. All right,
fellas, have a good one, man. Let's go green.
Go green.
All right, thank you, Isaiah. I appreciate it. 347-215-7771. We'll try to squeeze you in here. We're going to take one more caller here. 347-215-7771. We got Nick Sustento who's waiting patiently, and I'm sure he's got plenty to say. I haven't talked to Nick in a while, man, so we're going to have to catch up a bit. But we'll try to keep it short as we wrap things up here as we're heading towards the almost an hour now. Man, that Isaiah call. We're always looking ahead on this show. I'm telling you, we're always talking about the future. And, of course, we're also talking about the present, but we always somehow get into hypotheticals, Andrew. I don't know if you've noticed that, man. We're always talking about trades and what Danny Ainge should do with this team. Let's keep it about this team right now and how they're going to look moving forward, and we'll see what Nick has to say. What's going on, Nick? Welcome back.
What's up, Josue? What's up, Bino?
Hey, what's up?
How you been, man?
It's funny you're gonna scoop me along and pressure me on time after you just sat there and had a 20-minute long conversation about trades in the offseason for Anthony Davis.
Like
come on son. I mean like one of the things I was so happy when the trade deadline passed because I was just tired of reading on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, everywhere. Trading for Anthony Davis, trading this for, like, finally the trade. I wasn't necessarily happy that the Celtics made, you know, no moves other than signing Greg Monroe, who I happen to like very much. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I was happy. Like, when the rest of the season, we don't got to hear about trades, and then here we are. We win the Boston Celtics win a game, and even after winning, it's still, how are we going to trade? And I'm one of those guys that would have said yeah to Al Horford, but I just don't understand what people expect from Al Horford because if you look at his career statistics, His statistics this season are pretty much completely in line with his career statistics. I had it pulled up, but of course my iPad just dropped down. But I mean, basically, I think he's averaging 13 points this year. His career stat 13.3, and his career scoring is 14.2. His career, I believe, rebounding is just over 8 rebounds per game. He's averaging 7.7 this year. He's doing exactly what he's done for almost his entire career. If you go back over the seasons, like the most recent seasons, he hasn't averaged, like, surpassed the 15-point, like, 15-point whatever. He hasn't averaged more than 16 points or more. And I think the past 4 or 5 seasons, he's always been about a 15-point guy. So I just don't understand what people expect from Al Horford. I think, Josue, you did a perfect job of explaining why Al Horford was signed for the money that he was signed for at the time he was signed for it. There was it wasn't just 1 year. There was actually 2 years, the year after that, because that same year that Al Horford got the max deal from the Boston Celtics was the same year Evan Turner got $17.7 million from Portland Trail Blazers, and Kent Bazemore got a similar $17.7 million from whoever he got. You know, that was the year that,
well,
that bad
on, Nick,
players
Nick,
got
Nick.
Paid.
I know you're not going to just – I think I should skip over Timothy Mozgov.
Timothy Mozgov,
yes. $50 million contract that he got. I mean, it was crazy.
Exactly.
When you compare it like that, it's like, come on, are we surprised that Al got damn near 30 mil? Of course he did.
And this is the thing, and just to, you know, Al Horford had with Danny Ainge paid Al Horford that. He went out and got Al Horford because Kevin Durant specifically said Al Horford was a player that he wanted to play with. So Al Horford was literally part of the pitch to bring, you know, Kevin Durant into Boston, and it almost worked. But, you know, Kevin Durant went for the sure thing out there in Golden State. I don't know too many players that wouldn't have done that, other than those, you know, that have, you know, loyalty and integrity. But we won't go, you know, into that realm.
Yeah.
But Al Horford came, and if it wasn't for Al Horford, you don't have Gordon Hayward. I don't think Greg Monroe, you know, being a bought out player, you know, chooses Boston over his hometown of the New Orleans Pelicans, who also wanted to sign him. I don't think a lot of things, like you mentioned the domino effect, a lot of things happening. But, you know, and I know you guys got to go, so I just want to run through some things real quick. You mentioned, Josue, that Daniel Tice coming on, that might, you know, signify, you know, fewer minutes for Greg Monroe. I actually agree with Isaiah in that it's going to – it basically – I mean, you're going to still see Aaron Baines, but it's basically phasing out Baines, because Baines and Monroe are those two old school, you know, they were 100% big men. Daniel Tice isn't really a natural five. He's more of a four. And the way that he's been hitting
four.
Outside shots now, he's almost a stretch four now too, because he can hit some of these outside shots. I wouldn't bank a game on his three-point shooting, but he can hit the elbow shots, and he can hit those three-point shots when he needs to do it. And he's not really a big man that's going to, you know, back you down on the block and get his scoring that way. So he's not really the same type of player that Greg Monroe is. So I don't think they're going to be competing for minutes. I think it's going to be Aaron Baines and Greg Monroe. And then one last thing is, tonight I think was the first night, and if not the whole season, but in a long time, that the Boston Celtics bench outplayed the Boston Celtics starting lineup. And I think the key factor to that, other than, you know, Daniel Tice having the game of his career, other than Marcus Morris having an excellent game, other than, you know, those factors, was the fact that Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier, Brad Stevens actually found a way to get them, if not to play together well, because they for so long this season they haven't been able to gel. Those two coming off the bench together just hasn't worked. And I think Brad Stevens tonight found a way to make them work while they were on the court together, and also stagger them to where, you know, they weren't on the court so much that it kind of, you know, stopped the offense. Because neither one of those guys, when they're not hitting their shots, you know what I'm saying, it's a bad thing. And then you put both of them on the floor at the same time, the Boston offense occasionally, you know what I'm saying, can get stagnated by having both of those guys. And I think he had a perfect strategy tonight. And I also liked what I saw from Marcus Smart. The last thing I'm going to say that kind of follows into that, and I know this is like rapid fire, but Marcus Smart now knows that Terry Rozier is perfectly capable of not just stepping up for him, but also when Kyrie Irving goes out, Terry Rozier can come in and start for Kyrie Irving as well. So I think Marcus Smart tonight, even though he didn't do so well from three, I think he shot something like, what, 2 for 6 or something like that. I don't really like 6 3-pointers from Marcus Smart, but that's okay. I think he played a whole lot more within the game, at least offensively, and he seems to be more tuned in with the flow of the offense and finding his own offensive game. And I think knowing that Terry Rozier is, you know, right at his ankles right there, you know what I'm saying, in terms of who's going to go, who's going to stay, how, what's going to be affected in the offseason and the, you know, in free agency or restricted free agency for Marcus Smart. I think, you know, that is keeping Marcus Smart more within the game and not chucking so much, that, you know, is one of the things that I really didn't like about him. But I think that was basically, you know, how this game played out. You know, it was close early until the second quarter, and then Boston Celtics just took off. And if they can continue to play, the whole team is going to be consistency like this, but if they can continue to play like this, I think they're strong. And if their biggest matchup other than Toronto is a young team like Cleveland that has a whole bunch of young players that are what Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum would have been had, you know, they're not been the Eastern Conference Finals last year for guys like Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier, they don't have that experience. So that's going to be a decent matchup for them if it's going to be Cleveland and the Boston Celtics, because those young guys on Cleveland, they don't have the experience. So good game for the Boston Celtics. I hope they can, you know, this is a start to a new win streak, another, what was it, 16-17 game win streak. Let's win 16-17 again. You know?
I don't know, man. That'd be impressive. But, hey, either way, if this team can you know, finish with, I don't know, what, 13-10, or maybe my numbers might be a little off there. You know, if they're somewhere within that realm of 14-10, and you know, those two games that they have against the Toronto Raptors is going to really decide how they go into the playoffs. I don't think the Toronto Raptors are going to be slowing down anytime soon, but the Celtics are right there on their heels, exactly where they need to be and exactly where they want to be in terms of creating that space away from Cleveland and remaining a top two team in the Eastern Conference. Andrew, what's some of your final thoughts here as we get ready to close things out?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was just seeing how balanced it was tonight. They all looked refreshed, and I think my biggest takeaway, and it was something I wanted to get to a little bit more, we talked with enough when we talked with Isaiah, the caller earlier, is that I was really concerned about how Greg Monroe was going to fit into the scheme Josue and Nick, and I think it looked great to have a first half with Daniel Tice having 12 points and 6 boards, 4 of those being offensive. He was playing so well, provided so much energy. Second half, you're like, oh my God, is Greg Monroe even going to go in the game? He does. He kind of has his little niche role of a couple nice back-to-basket plays. And it was great to see in a game where Tice plays so well in the first half, Tice can still play in the second half, do his kind of continue on, not obviously as hot, but still play within the game. And then you have Monroe stepping up as well. It was a nice balance, and I was impressed by that. And it almost looked like a symbol, Josue, to me, of nobody is too impressed with themselves on the team. There's no egos involved with, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think if they can all kind of work together, there's going to be a game where Greg Monroe has 10 points in the playoffs, and there's going to be a game where Daniel Tice has a ton of energy in a 12-point first half like he had tonight. I really do think, and it could be a game where Greg Monroe doesn't play that much in the playoffs where Tice does that, or vice versa. But I think that tonight showed that there's all the bigs that the Celtics now have, it's a luxury, like you said, and there's definitely not a problem.
Well, Bino, one of the things is this is probably Greg Monroe probably recognizes this might be one of his last stops if he doesn't get it together, especially under a coach like Brad Stevens, is known for resurrecting players' careers, or at least getting the best out of the players that, you know, you possibly can. I think Greg Monroe has to recognize he might be a veteran. He's still a young dude, but he might be a veteran, but he's not going to be given anything, and he has to produce, and he's going to have to do it with the minutes that he's given, because he's not in any position to tell a guy like Brad Stevens, yo, I want these minutes or I want these minutes. And the same thing can be said for Daniel Tice. He's a rookie. It doesn't, you know, it matters what he did in the EuroLeague. It got him into the NBA, but once you step before into the NBA, it's all about what have you done for me lately, what have you done for me now. And if Daniel Tice, you know, isn't producing, he's not going to get on the court. So for both of those guys, there really isn't any room for ego, and if there was an ego in that situation, it would be completely unjustified, because both of them have something to prove right now, and they're playing like it, and they should play like it, and that's better for the Boston Celtics.
Absolutely, definitely. Hey Nick, I appreciate you calling in, man. We'll get you we got to do a show together soon, man. It's been a while.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
soon.
It.
Of course.
See you, Nick. Have a good night, man. Yeah, man. We got a little three big men you know, fight for the those two spots. I mean, we may not see Baines for quite some time, but I still think he'll be in the fold. But if I had to pick out of the three, which one's the odd man out, I mean, it's easy to say Baines. I mean, these two guys provide something that he can provide, but more, you know, whether we're talking about either Tice or whether we're talking about Monroe. I definitely agree with that argument that that Isaiah made and, of course, Nick made as well just now.
Yeah, and Joshua, just to add one thing quick before we go, I think that it's exciting, too, because last year you had such a select number of bigs and there was such poor rebounding. Now this year, if Monroe twists an ankle, if Tice has to miss for, I don't know, a couple of weeks for whatever, some fluke injury, like, it's one of those things that the Celtics are deep. So Baines is more than capable of coming in and not doing exactly what Monroe did tonight, but doing something similar if he's given the reps. I really do think that Baines could mirror what Monroe does. Monroe's just more athletic and more of a presence than Baines. But it's really nice having a guy who can back him up and gives a lot of depth to the Celtics team. So,
all right. Well, with that, we'll wrap up this post-game show. It's been the Celtics post-game show for CLNS Media. The Celtics top the Pistons 110-98. We'll try to put together another win tomorrow against the New York Knicks. But this is certainly an encouraging sign to see this type of performance out of the Celtics. Six players in double figures. Everyone getting involved there, with Daniel Tice having the game of his young NBA career, leading the way as they top the Pistons 110-98. This show, this edition of the Celtics post-game show is brought to you by SeatGeek. Head over to SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code GARDENREPORT, where you can get $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek is your go-to site to pick up tickets for any sporting event, concert. You certainly want to go to SeatGeek. They got you covered with all the best prices. And if you use the promo code GARDENREPORT, you can get $20 off that first purchase. That's SeatGeek. Use the promo code GARDENREPORT and get yourself $20 off. For my co-host, Andrew Rubino. Andrew, first time doing a show with you. I'm sure it won't be the last, man. It was a good time hosting the show with you tonight.
No doubt. Feelings mutual, man. It was exciting, and we'll be back shortly doing another thing.
All right. Definitely. No doubt, Andrew. Appreciate it. I'm Joseph Pavone. This has been the Celtics postgame show for CLNS Media. We'll see you again tomorrow night with another show, of course, and I'll see you guys soon. I'm sure I will be behind the mic very soon. This is the Celtics postgame show for CLNS Media. I am Joseph Pavone. Have a good night, everybody.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSradio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.